God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just one time in this world that has become the lie, and why wouldn't it? The prince of the air right now has temporary reign. He's allowed temporary rule. This is why we are in the world, but not of it. Those of us who've given our lives to the Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. In this world that has become the lie, just one time, it would have been a lot of fun for me, just one time, to have something that we all watched in the fallen separate countries of Washington State and California and Oregon, just one time, it would have been a tremendous amount of fun to find out it was simply a massive clerical error or a great bit of incompetence, instead of it being a plan that's going to be executed around the rest of the country. And yet, it's a plan that's going to be executed around the rest of the country. There are certainly people who've been drawn into and fooled and conned and seduced by the lies of the enemy. And then there are people who are, in fact, pushing the lies of the enemy. There's smart, scheming people on top and on the bottom. There's people who are supplicants, putting their heads down and trying to get their trying to do their jobs. And in the middle, there's us, people who are legitimately trying to live life the right way. And just one time, I would love to have been able to say, wow, I guess that really wasn't a plan. And yet it was a plan. Case in point, mail-in ballots and drop boxes. No, it's not the breaking news of the moment, but it should be. In the city of Chicago, something strange happened. How odd is this? In a very, very close race for attorney general, they have discovered something. Very, very important something. They've discovered 10,000 somethings.
The race for state attorney getting tighter. Eileen O'Neill Burke now leads Clayton Harris by less than 5,000 votes.
This isn't a very immediate process, but it is a thorough process that's happening right now.
The Chicago Board of Elections overseeing the city ballot count today admitting to a counting and communications error, announcing it's adding some 10,000 vote-by-mail ballots to the unofficial total. They arrived before Election Day, but were not included until now. The director of public information apologizing, saying he missed them. I traded speed for accuracy in reporting out numbers this week as quickly as I could. I truly regret this error on my part and for the confusion that it has caused the voters of Chicago. Meantime, the race remains too close to call.
10,000 ballots. Oh, we missed them. This is the same exact thing that happened in the first theft of a gubernatorial election in this country, which is unambiguous, inarguable fact. It was stolen from Dino Rossi by the people who ran Christine Gregoire's campaign back in Washington State. The same exact technique. This is made worse. And I heard the news story saying, you did too, that these arrived before Election Day. How do we know? How do we know that? Well, there were postmarks on them, on all of them. What if 1,000 of them were slipped in and a race this close? This is made so much worse when ballots are counted that arrived after the date of election, which is exactly what happened at 4:30 in the morning in 2024. Ballots that arrive with fake signatures that get counted, as was tested in the state of Nevada twice now by a columnist who's proven that ballot envelopes with fake signatures are counted. Sometimes 80% of them counted. This is made ridiculously bad with drop boxes. There are no postmarks on drop boxes. So you can drop in a ballot that's going to have a signature that's not verified, for which no one has checked ID, on which there is no postmark. Therefore, you have no idea when it was actually dropped off. There were ballot drop boxes in the separate country of Washington open for business 2 weeks after the election. You could still pop a ballot in there. When a nation has become the lie, you will see this time and time and time again, and it's difficult for me anymore to not see the face of the liar in all of this. The liar, meaning the liar, thief, and the murderer from the beginning, meaning Satan. And there's a good number of people. There's a good number of people who disagree with me politically, even disagree with me spiritually. They see the same thing. I'll talk to you later this week about a discussion I had with an absolutely beloved family member. She is a better person than I am. She is a loyal family member. She is not with the Lord. She is at best an agnostic. And she also sees so many of the lies in our nation. And yet she's on the left and I'm on the right. It was very little comfort for her when I said, you know, I talk about politics. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote in a way that terrifies you, because I'm not terrified of the figurehead Biden, because God is bigger. But I believe he's evil. And she believes the same about Donald Trump. She believes Trump is an evil man. She believes she's terrified of him, to be frank. We get our information from different sources. That is by design, in my opinion, divide and conquer. And I have a different view of all of this than she does, which is I am a sojourner here. I'm just traveling through. I want to be good while I'm here. I want to be a great citizen. I want to be politically active because we're called to be that. But I no longer fear Washington, D.C., even as I go through news stories like this. Chris Hayes on MSNBC is paid to wear smart guy glasses and to say things like this to people like my beloved family member, who gets a lot of news through sources like this. This is Chris Hayes celebrating a massive, massive victory for the figurehead.
The Bureau just released some more data, new data from 2023, indicating that, yes, there was indeed a massive drop in crime last year. According to one crime data analyst who spoke to NBC News, when all is said and done, 2023, quote, we will have seen likely the largest one-year decline in murder that has ever been recorded. It is indisputable the country is getting both safer and more prosperous in the last 4 years under President Biden.
So the lowest drop in murder in how long? If you go through a period of time where a terrorist group, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, with their sidekicks in Antifa and the lesser-known John Brown Gun Club, are allowed to go around the country committing political murders on the streets and then demanding murders of cops, and you see those go up 200 to 300%, and you have a period of the lockdowns, the politically useless, deadly, medically ridiculous, or politically helpful, medically useless, deadly, lockdowns of everything in society that's helpful, and you see the inherent frustrations arise and the aggression arise, yeah, you're going to see a decrease in murders. But guess this, here's where the data gets really, really funny. Really funny. The separate country of Seattle has made the same claim. Yeah, murders are down. Want to know how they do that? They don't charge people with murder. They charge them with lesser charges. That's how they do it. They sometimes dismiss murder charges. But more key is this. Now, this is where you could say, well, that's funny. It's not. It can strike one as funny. Shootings are up by record levels in the separate country of Seattle and in cities like Los Angeles. But murders are down. People are still getting shot. They're just not dying as often. Now, you could say that it sounds like the assailants are bad shots, and you're right, because so many of them are young kids who fortunately haven't had the practice. It is an impossibility for us to believe with our eyes and our ears and our knowledge of our friends and what our friends are going through that crime is down. This is the story of a guy in DeKalb County, Georgia. And he refused to leave his home after someone stole his home from him.
Shami Allman says she and her 77-year-old husband were forced out of their Stone Mountain home of more than 20 years. Allman's 77-year-old husband was arrested for refusing to leave the property.
Very upsetting to see my husband in handcuffs at 77 years old and placed in the car because he didn't want to leave his home.
Can you answer our questions?
No questions. You get out.
Do you own the property?
Get out.
How did you acquire this property?
Alembic says it's not uncommon for judges to rule against homeowners even after proving a wrongful foreclosure.
It's a big problem nowadays that e-filing is so, e-recording of deeds is so easy now that it's very easy to record forged deeds.
He says this is due to outdated state law resulting in limited abilities within the magistrate system involving dispossessory hearings.
So there are people who have learned the process of stealing homes using digital processing. The same thing we talk about with elections. If it can be coded, it can be hacked. If it's digital, there's no fingerprints on it. And God forbid this happen, but it will. It will. When one of these people, these criminals, decides to steal the house from the wrong person, they're going to get killed. That's going to happen. It's unavoidable. I can feel my flesh right now rising up. If someone came and underwent this process with our home and stole a home from my family, I don't know that I could turn the other cheek. I don't know that I should. But I should. Right? I think if someone's going to leave your family out in the cold winter because they coveted your home and so they stole it, I'd say put that in front of a jury. I don't want to see it happen, but it's going to. When a nation becomes the lie and you can watch it, it's frustrating when there is blatant proof that they're the lie. The Democrats have no interest in securing the border. Senator Marsha Blackburn.
Let me tell you what my colleagues are going to vote no to. When we voice vote this in a few minutes, this is a concept that has been around for a while, and it is in legislation called the CLEAR Act. What this would simply do is say that our local and state law enforcement, when they apprehend a criminal illegal alien in this country, that they can detain that individual and require ICE to, within 48 hours, come to them to deport that individual. They also would be required to reimburse that entity for the expenses, and then they would also prohibit funds going to cities that do not comply with federal immigration law. The fact that we have Americans losing their lives, Pierce Corcoran from Tennessee, Lake and Riley, that
the,
we have all
the senator's
talked about,
time has expired.
Because of criminal illegal aliens,
the senator's time
is
has
the
expired.
Reason to vote yes.
This is the same body where Democrats unanimously voted against preventing illegal immigrants from counting in our census and therefore counting in the apportionment of electoral college seats. When a nation becomes a lie, it's become difficult for me to not see the face of the original liar, thief and murderer, Satan. And I want to remind myself that face is temporary because we stand in victory at the Lord Jesus. Isn't it good to be a traveler here? We'll come back into Disciples View. As you might be able to tell from some conversations we've been having today, I was really deeply affected by a discussion I had with a beloved family member. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is a woman I've known my whole life, and she was unclear as to if I could identify her. So I'm not gonna. She's a family member I've known my whole life. We're similar ages, and she shared with me her deep, deep, terrified feelings about Donald Trump. And she knows me politically. And so I did what I could to listen and to try to understand. And I can recall having deep, deep fear about what Barack Hussein Obama, what Barack Hussein Obama would do to the country. And I feel I was right. I feel God led me in that right direction. And as I'm watching my beloved family member have this emotion response to President Trump, she has some reasons for this, she says. She sent me a news article I'll talk about next segment. But one of the things she talked about was the teaching of slavery in history being banned. And of course, she's talking about laws in Texas and Florida. And she was in such an emotional state, feeling so, so afraid for her kids. And her kids are dear kids, beautiful children, very much people of this world, though, very much. Doesn't mean that they're not dear kids. They are absolutely great kids. I would give a kidney for each of them. And I can understand her fear based upon the information she's receiving. And she said to me, for instance, the banning of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Why, Todd? Why? So I prayerfully sat and I thought about this and I said, you know what? In a sane sense, of course we should accept and celebrate diversity. And of course we should be equitable in how we treat people. And of course we should be inclusive. And those words have changed meaning. Now she knows that I am a Christian. She knows I serve the Lord Jesus. She has some knowledge of the Bible. And she's very, very open to hearing from me about the Bible and about Jesus. She's very, very, as time to time, has even asked me questions. Doesn't the Bible say it does? And not in a way to score points. That she's asking those questions. She said, because didn't Jesus do that? I said, yes, Jesus treats everybody equitably. Yes, he's going to judge everybody equitably. He's judging people now. He'll be the ultimate judge one day. Now, my beloved family member was not in the mood for me to hear me say, and that's why I am so terrified of the eternal. Because of where her kids are at, where she's at. Now, eventually, I'll get there. When she's not in the state that she was in today, or the other day when we talked. But this is all way of getting into what I wish I'd had at my fingertips in terms of a factual situation to share with her. Not that it would have changed. I don't think when someone is feeling that terrified, I don't think you can change where they're at with facts. I don't think that for a second. I think you can give some context. There has been with DEI, which is what my family member was saying, why would we ban this? Why would we stop teaching slavery? And I said in the conversation, I said, I am not familiar with any state that stopped teaching slavery. And she said, well, there's a college professor who teaches that slavery was actually good for black people. And he's allowed to keep his job. And other people who teach that slavery was bad, they're not allowed to keep theirs. And again, I'm listening to this and I'm looking at someone I deeply, dearly love. And I said, please send me the articles about that. Clearly, I don't think slavery was good for black people. Clearly, that's silliness. Because it's cruelty and it's ungodly behavior. It's definitely against how the Lord Jesus treats people. Definitely. I wish I'd had at my fingertips this article, though, by Leslie Eastman at Legal Insurrection, because this is the case in point. What I said to my beloved family member was that the DEI movement, those words should be good words. Those words should be honorable words. My beloved family member and I having dinner together. We're a diverse group. She lives in the city, prefers the city, is a bit of an urbanist. I live in the country. I prefer the country. I'm not a suburbanist. I store food and water. I have energy independence in my house. My beloved family member does not. I mean, they have some food, but not like me. They, in fact, during the lockdowns, she actually sent me a text and said, "Hey, if the grocery store is closed, are you going to share food with us?" I said, "Absolutely. Of course. You want some now?" "Well, if the grocery store is closed, we could probably use some. We're going to go try to get some food." So she knows she can turn to me. So we're a diverse group. And I said that DEI has become a tool of evil. Because people have accepted the lie. This show is taken on a theme. I didn't intend the show to be about the liar today. I didn't intend for it to be about the prince of the air. Sometimes God takes over the show. Maybe it's because I've been spending so much time in Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel, and reading of the warnings he was making to Israel and how absolutely comparable they are to us. Maybe it's because of that. Leslie Eastman, writing at Legal Insurrection, says, DEI priorities create havoc in kidney transplant system. In 2020, a quasi-governmental nonprofit that runs American Transplant Centers created a new formula to assess kidney function, ignoring scientifically determined body composition differences. Now non-blacks are being moved to the back of the transplant line. So this is a group with great power, frankly, over life and death. It's a group that controls to some degree who gets transplants. And Leslie was talking with our friend Sandy Rios from American Family Radio about this. Sandy Rios is a great friend of the show and the network. She writes, "Kidney function is obsessed by determining how effectively the organs are removing creatinine, which is a chemical waste product of creatine. Creatine is a chemical made by the body and is used to supply energy mainly to muscle. Creatinine is removed from the body entirely by the kidneys. So you get down to how this is done and how they determine if you have good kidney function. It's effectively, is your body doing a good job of cleaning out this particular byproduct of energy, creatinine? If it doesn't get cleaned out, it can really mess you up, by the way. Really, really mess you up. So there was an ethnic calculation involved in this already because the data had been adjusted to reflect people's ethnicities. Our ethnicities, though the differences are relatively minor in many ways, sometimes minor differences can add up to major problems if they're not recognized, which incidentally is why it's insane that medical systems let people identify as women when they're men. We'll talk about that in a second. Did you know that people have almost died because they went into the hospital saying, "I can't figure out why I'm my stomach feels full and I can't eat and I'm throwing up all the time and they finally figured out, wait a minute, you have a baby inside you. Oh, that's impossible. I'm a man." No, you're not. No, read my medical form. It says I'm a man. So back to this article. See, this is DEI. This is how it has driven people insane, quite purposely, in my opinion. So we're talking about the kidneys, the kidneys' ability to clean from your body this creatinine, which is a byproduct of creating energy for the muscles. It happens that black people's bodies are different than white people's. So based upon actual science, body composition differences, again, Leslie Eastman writing at Legal Insurrection, especially in muscle mass, mean that black people have higher serum creatinine concentrations than white people. In fact, there can be up to a 6-fold difference. So what this means is often black people have higher degrees of lean muscle tissue than white people, which is, by the way, why black people are often better at sports. We're not supposed to say that, but that's a fact. Their body structures are a little bit different. Hip to size ratio, etc., a little bit different. Black people are often better at sports. We're not supposed to say that, but it's true. One of the side effects of this is that black people walk around with more creatinine in their bodies. Because their bodies are probably producing more creatine, therefore driving more energy to the muscles, therefore having a higher overall level of creatinine in their bodies. Get this? So here's what this group, the United Network for Organ Sharing, has done. Quasi-governmental nonprofit that runs American transplant centers, it decided to ignore ethnicity. So to simplify this, radically simplify this, the difference in creatinine levels in white people and black people is, let's express it this way. It would be common for white people to walk around with a level of creatinine in their bodies of, let's say, 6. For black people, it would be 36. So if a white person comes in and suddenly has creatinine in their bodies at a level of 36, they would get behind the line of a black person with level 38. So a white person coming in with 6 times the amount of creatinine in their bodies, which is a can turn into a poison at that level, would be put behind the line for a kidney transplant for a black person who had seen a less than 1% increase in the creatinine levels in their bodies, which is not going to poison anybody. This is how diversion, this is how I call it diversion, exclusion, and insanity, but this is how diversity, equity, and inclusion is used to make racism a killing factor. The desire to be equitable when it is not based upon the math, and in this case, this organization absolutely erased the math, deleted the math, in an effort to put black people ahead of white people in line for kidney transplants. So I started this by discussing the conversation I've had with this beloved family member, and that she was in such a terrified state that night that there was no point in me bringing up cases like this. She sent me an article, and we'll talk about this next segment, and it's about Texas and the abortion law. I am pro-life. She knows this. But I eventually will send this article to her because she works in healthcare. When diversity, equity, and inclusion creates diversity of the following type, that a man can walk into a hospital, an apparent man can walk into a hospital, be put through rounds and rounds of tests, keep coming back because the problem's not getting better, his stomach's getting worse, he's getting more and more bloated, and they do test after test. But this man is so made so insane by DEI that he believes he's a man, when in fact he's got the internal organs of a woman because he is a she and always has been. That's you're being inclusive of nonsense. Inclusivity cannot be at the cost of truth. When you as a society decide that inclusivity means accepting people's lies for truth, you cannot have a society any longer. When equity means that you lie on behalf of someone, even as they're dreadfully sick, you are not giving equity. You're providing a level of pandering that's going to get people killed. And as I speak these words, I cannot help but see the face of the actual enemy laughing. Now, that's a horrific vision, isn't it? Satan laughing at us. Yes, your world's being driven insane. Yes. Yes, I'm succeeding with these people. Yes, I'm causing this chaos. Yes, I have seized these words. I've seized equity. I've seized inclusion. I've seized deliverance. but you haven't seized the word. And perhaps this is why I'm so focused on and affected by this conversation with this beloved family member today and Satan's lies, is I saw my beloved family member absolutely terrified by him. Being driven to a point where the only information sources she is apparently taking in are those that are going to terrify her more. Now, we're going to talk about in the next segment her experience with this Texas abortion law. And we'll get to the Tower babbling. Senator Kennedy, always good for sound bites. Now, I don't always agree with his vote. Sometimes he's made some ridiculous votes. Always good for sound bites. Senator Kennedy got to question an expert witness from the Democrats, a guy named Gus Schumacher. He's an Olympian. He's a cross-country skier, an Olympian, so clearly athletically skilled. But we'll do a very special segment of the Tower Babbling this week with three sound bites from Gus Schumacher and his conversation with Senator Kennedy, because Gus Schumacher has some opinions about carbon dioxide and our atmosphere and our world. We'll talk about that and how we cannot terrify people into seeing the face of God. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I try not to be cynical. I don't know about you. We've been talking to the show today about the lie. That the liar, the thief, and the murderer, the prince of the air, right now has temporary reign over the earth. And watching people fall into the lie, some people push it. I'm always curious about who knows they're pushing the lies of the enemy. There are people who do that. We can't be Christians and not believe that there are Satanists. I mean, there are people who admit they're Satanists. Some are, in fact, in government. Some, in fact, work for the White House. And they admit it. So this exists. What is so terrifying to me is people's terror. I had a discussion this week with a beloved family member. And she's abjectly terrified of Donald Trump. Her children are unbelievably dear children, and they are unbelievably of this world. They're kind, they are loyal, they are loving kids, and they're unbelievably of this world. They're as of this world as one can be. That terrifies me for their eternal souls. It does, because I know where that leads. This beloved family member and I are on different sides of some political issues, but less than you'd think. We agree about Big Pharma, and she used to work for it. We agree about the technocratic medical state, and she works within it, trying to get out of it. We agree that it is terrible for society that BlackRock and other hedge funds by 2035 will own 60% of houses. Their goal is to own 100% of houses. They don't want you to own a thing. You will own nothing and you will be happy. That's their goal. They want a nation of serfs. Serfdom, return to serfdom. Now, my sister and I disagree to some degree on how that has happened. She identifies it as pure corporate greed, and it is. And I identify it as pure corporate greed helped along by pure greedy government. Avaricious government bosses. To some degree, she agrees with me. It's on the topic of what she refers to as human rights that we disagree. And she sent me a story from Newsweek. We're going to talk about this later this week. A woman had miscarried her baby. And in miscarrying her baby, she was in Texas. That's technically called an abortion, a spontaneous abortion, the miscarrying of a child. And I am pro-life. I am against abortion. My family member knows this. We tread carefully around the topic because she knows I'm very much against abortion. She's not an abortion fanatic by any means. She's suffered 6 miscarriages because of her body. She went through a dreadful cancer, 6 miscarriages, babies she dearly wanted. And in this case, this woman describes having to leave Texas because her doctor would not remove the body of the fetus, the child, the baby. And that can kill you. That can lead to you getting sepsis. Secondly, it's cruel. If you've had a miscarriage and your dead child is within you, it's a cruel thing to not remove that for a woman. We can't help along the pro-life cause with cruelty. Now, I'm confident that the law in Texas, and this is why I'm mentioning this now, is that I will research the law in Texas. I'm confident that the law in Texas makes a difference, a delineation between the aborting of a baby by killing the baby and a spontaneous abortion and then the removal of the body of the child. And my sister's terrified. We cannot win hearts and souls with terror. We need to make sure that we are not creating circumstances where people can have legitimate fear and terror of us. We can't change President Trump. My beloved family member will always fear Trump, sadly. Many people fear Biden. Let's not fear these people. Let's remember that they're given power over us only to the degree to which God allows it. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that... Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
So Senator Kennedy, always good for some fantastic sound bites, always good that way. He had on his, he had the opportunity to question a pro skier, professional skier named Gus Schumacher. And Gus Schumacher appeared in front of the Senate as an expert witness from the Democrats as to the harm of global warming. This is a special segment of Tower Babbling. All 3 clips, Senator Kennedy and Gus Schumacher.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but
well, you want us to abolish it, right?
No, there's always going to be carbon dioxide.
Right. So what is it you want us to do? Let me back up because you're here as an expert. Tell me more about what carbon dioxide is.
I'm here as an expert cross-country skier who sees the changes in my winters and the landscape that I live in Alaska. And so carbon dioxide is what I see it as, is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what,
is it the major part of our atmosphere?
Or? It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's less than about 1%. This young man, Gus Schumacher, got to go testify in front of the Senate. Did you? And he was there as an expert witness. So much of what this young man says in response to Senator Kennedy's questions, that you would, I would guess you'd be asked these things if you're back there to take a policy position to reduce or get rid of man-made carbon dioxide, which is impossible. He's right that way because it's what we exhale. I mean, he was set up for this in a way by Democrats. But what we're witnessing is a young man who's probably a dear young man, probably a sweet kid, who has no defense of his position other than to repeat the dogma of his position and to say things like, well, I'm not a scientist.
What do you think we ought to do with fossil fuels?
What will we do with fossil fuels?
Yeah. Should we make any changes?
I would like to see a decrease in the use of fossil fuels. I think there's a possibility to use more electric generation.
Okay, over what period of time? 10 years, 50 years, 100 years?
That's not, I would like to see it come as fast as possible while continuing.
How fast?
I don't have a great answer for that, no.
Okay, you just think, well, how much will it cost for us to become carbon neutral in the United States by 2050?
I'm not a professional on that. I don't have an answer.
You don't have any idea?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money?
I'm not an economist.
Yeah, but it's going to cost money. You realize that.
Yeah, but we've also talked about the trade-off of what the cost of climate change as emergencies will cost in the future also. So.
Right, but it's going to cost trillions of dollars to become carbon neutral by 2050, right?
I do not know.
You don't know. You just think we ought to do it.
I would like
if we spent those trillions of dollars and became carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States, which you advocate, how much will it reduce world temperatures?
I don't have an answer for that.
You don't know?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money and then see what happens?
I think, as an athlete, I think if we spend that money and invest in our future, hopefully those temperatures stop rising and maybe the snow at least stabilizes where it is for me. But yeah, I don't think anyone knows for sure. I don't know anyway.
When you are a believer in dogma and your defense of the dogma is the dogma itself, what in fact do you believe? You believe what you've been told, or in this case, what you feel. There's no doubt that the climate changes. It has since the Earth was created. There's no doubt that human beings are part of the world. What we exhale, what we build, yes, it can have an effect, but when you can't answer the very basic questions of how much gas, carbon dioxide, what percentage of it is it in the atmosphere, and how much would it cost to reduce it to zero or to be carbon neutral, what are you really believing? You're believing what you've been told by the people he continues to worship. Well, I'm not an economist. I'm not a scientist. And yet he continues to go back to, but this is what I believe. No, this is what you feel, Mr. Schumacher. You don't believe anything. You feel. And I understand fearful feelings. And for me, God is greater than all of this. Last clip here, Senator Kennedy interviewing a witness, an expert witness set up by the Democrats to testify about climate change, Gus Schumacher, an Olympic cross-country skier, skilled young man.
On June 8, 2020, you tweeted, "The war on drugs was intentionally created to incarcerate black people en masse," end quote. The war on drugs, you said, was intentionally created to incarcerate black people en masse. Who intentionally created the war on drugs to put black people in jail? Who were you talking about?
I don't remember typing that.
You don't?
No.
It's on your Twitter feed.
Maybe a retweet. I don't know. I haven't used that in a while.
Well, also, even it if it's a retweet, like it shows your support, right?
Maybe, yeah. But it's not the topic of this conversation.
Right. But it has to do with you're here giving us advice, and I just kind of like to know a little bit more about your
perspective. I'm here as an athlete giving you my story and what I've seen in my field.
On August 27th of 2020, you tweeted this, quote, I'm going to quote, "Police are paid with taxpayer dollars. If they are not answerable to us, we can demand new service," and that's what this is. "Abolish the police in favor of that new service," end quote. You think we ought to abolish the police, do you?
Again, not the topic I'm here to talk about today.
I know, but you tweeted it. Do you think we ought to abolish the police?
That's not what I'm here to talk about.
Should we do that before or after we get rid of fossil fuels?
It's a fair enough response to say that's not what I'm here to talk about. It's also fair for Senator Kennedy to say, here's who we're talking to. A young man who believes his feelings above all else. It's funny. I could blame him, except it's not my feelings that remembers Common Core. Remember Common Core? You know what it did? It taught kids of that age that their feelings are facts. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
That is news, Cammie Harris. We wrap up this show commonly with a personal observation from me, and I don't remember when I remembered this. I think I was talking to my wife about some decisions that our young daughter's made. She's an illegal adult. Can you believe it? And she's made some decisions about post-college, and she's really doing well in art school. So, so proud of her. And what she intends to do with her career, and we're blessed to hear this. It's been a tough road for our daughter. It really has. So I started to talk about first jobs. That was it, first jobs. And I remembered one of my first jobs. It was the first time I was recruited. I actually got recruited to leave one pizza place and go to another. And was offered a bunch of money. I mean, it was a lot of money. I couldn't believe that people did that, first of all. Wait a minute, one pizza place will come in here and offer to pay me a bunch more to go to another pizza place? Wow, I didn't know that happened. So I went to work at this place. I had been working in a rural part of town. Now it was downtown. And running the kitchen and managing the kitchen. And it was a fun job. I really enjoy making pizza. I made some for my daughter's birthday a few years ago. I got to toss pizza at our very favorite pizza place in Idaho called Embers on the Lake. And there was a guy who came in one night desperate for work. He was stinking. He was unhealthy. So I said, look, you can sweep the parking lot. I can't give you money, but I'll give you food. So I gave him food, and he did a fantastic job. He came out and showed me the parking lot. He didn't just sweep it. He shined it. This went on for a couple of months, and I'd asked Judy, who ran the place, can I pay this guy a little bit of money? And she said, sure, out of your tips. It's Judy. Okay, Todd, you can pay him a little bit of money. One day he came in and he quit. He walked in and offered notice. He was wearing a clean shirt and a tie. He'd gotten the job, a real one. He was back on his feet. He said, I'm taking my daughter to dinner tonight. I said, you're bringing her here, right? Well, I didn't think about that. Dinner is on us. What a joy that was. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until the Lord says we can speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.